Chapter 6.
Determination filled my gut, and my steps were brisk as Una and I walked the rope bridges toward the dining hall while the sun illuminated the eastern edge of the rainbow sky. The cat girl's fluffy tail swished behind her, and her hips swayed from side to side in a hypnotic rhythm. She had no idea how attracted I was to her, but the moment never seemed right to let my feelings be known. Even though this was the craziest dream I'd ever had, I was still hesitant to do anything that would have me cast out of the safe haven or rejected by the beautiful cat girl. Still, we were on our way to go on a mission outside of the canopy of the tree, and I had no idea what lay beyond the clearing. I only knew countless ways to die waited for me beyond the safety of Havenwood, and while I wasn't exactly eager to return to them, more potions would certainly come in handy in the future. "So, what about this weapon situation?" I asked, as I followed Una up a rope ladder to the next level of connecting bridges. "Do guns exist in all the land?"
"What is a gun?"
Una asked as her ears flicked backward. "Okay, so I'll take that as a no," I sighed, but I wasn't going to let my disappointment get to me. "How about swords? We're going to need something."
"I can get you a sword if that is what you need,"
Una said, and her ears flicked toward me again.
"But my claws serve me well enough."
"Yeah, you got a few good scratches in against that sniffer snatcher," I said, and the image of the hot cat girl launching herself from the branches of a tree flashed through my mind. That wasn't something I'd ever forget. Nor would I ever lose the memory of how terrifying the dog monster had been, or how close we'd both come to being its chew toy.
"I would have done better if they hadn't made me take a potion,"
Una huffed in an angry voice.
"The queen and her clover cards deserve to be knocked around a little after the way they've treated the people of all the land."
"To be completely honest with you," I said as I raked a hand through my hair, "I've never used a sword before."
"I'm sure it is simple enough to kill things. All the land is full of things that can kill you very easily, after all. Fairness would dictate it being just as easy to kill them."
"We will see, I guess," I mumbled with a shake of my head. I had a feeling killing things was a little bit harder than being killed, but it wasn't an argument I wanted to win, either. A few moments later, we made it to the dining hall, and a few familiar faces sat at the tables inside. Miss Maggie, Lena, and Zeedy sat on one bench with a group of strange animals opposite them, and Dr. Kriya sat at another with a bunch of bird people, but her back was to us.
"I've brought Alex,"
Una announced in a loud, cheerful voice, and everyone turned to face us with bright smiles.
"He has agreed to save us all!"
Cheers erupted around the room, and I saw hope light up their eyes as they applauded my mere presence. Bird calls, squirrel chatter, furbay squeaks, and a loud meow filled the air, and then everyone burst out into uproarious laughter. It seemed the people of Havenwood were elated to have found a savior at last, and apparently, that hero was me. That was a lot of expectations to pile upon one man, but there I stood with the weight of the world suddenly placed on my shoulders. My palms began to sweat, and the hairs on the back of my neck stood on end. "Uh-oh.
That's not exactly what I said," I pointed out. "I agreed to help get some potions, that's it."
Una grinned wide as she waved a dismissive hand.
"Thus proving you are the dreamer of prophecy who will free all the land from the Dark King's rule. If you're not here to save us, Alex, then what are you doing in all the land?"
She had a good point. What would happen when I drank another potion? What was I going to say to the occupants of the Tree City if I actually was this dreamer they all hoped for? Would I be able to deny them? I didn't even know where to start. How was I going to take down a Dark King with countless nightmarish minions on his side? I was one man. I sighed and rubbed the back of my neck, but I flashed Una a sheepish grin.
Let's just start with the potions, all right?"
"Very well,"
Una nodded, but her deep purple eyes were intense as she held my gaze.
"Once you open your eyes and wake up, you will see you have been the dreamer this entire time. I know in my heart you will save us all."
Una's utter faith in me was highly appealing, and it almost made me want to be the dreamer like she hoped I was, just so I could make her happy. Then the beautiful cat girl winked at me before she turned back to the others. She led me to the table where Miss Maggie and our new friends sat, but the doctor quickly came over to join us. I was sitting between the Furbay and Una, and across from the Mouse Lady, so I shot the doctor a friendly smile. Kriya blushed and looked down at the table, and she avoided my eyes from then on out.
"Alex needs a sword,"
Una said to the table at large. There was silence for a long moment, and I thought the older two ladies might refuse, so I glanced at Lena and Zidi with a questioning look. I doubted they had access to swords, given they wouldn't be able to use them, so I had little expectation for a reply.
"I have a few in storage,"
Miss Maggie said.
"I do as well,"
Dr. Kriya added, with her eyes still downcast.
"You could have your pick of any, really."
"Why do you have so many swords?"
"Not just swords,"
Dr. Kriya interjected.
"Pretty much any weapon you can imagine. There is quite a variety in my storeroom, given up by my patients."
"They're left over from the Great Turmoil,"
Miss Maggie explained, and she crossed her arms over her chest as she gave me a hard look.
"Almost every man I knew threw down his weapon and refused to fight. They saw what happened to the men who went before them, and decided to bail on all the land. But it works out in your favor. There are plenty of weapons for you to choose from if you're actually willing to fight."
A huge stash of weapons could prove useful, and I pictured myself fighting with different kinds. A sword was pretty basic, but how it was used highly depended on the type of blade and the skill level of the user. Daggers were cool, but could be useless against larger enemies. Maces certainly made a dent in armor, but I would probably need more muscle definition before I could wield one. The same was true for war hammers, double-headed axes, and flails. "A sword'll do for now," I said with a polite dip of my head. "I'd like to look over all your weapons at another time, if that's all right."
"I will fetch a sword,"
Miss Maggie stated in a monotone voice, and she turned to leave, but then paused.
"Do you need armor, too?"
Yeah, if you have some," I said, and excitement began to lift my chest. "That would be awesome. Thank you." The pig lady huffed, but the tension in her shoulders softened as she departed.
"We will see if it will even fit."
I'd win her over eventually, but in the meantime, I could be patient with the stubborn sow. I drummed my fingers on the wooden table as I waited for her to return, and my stomach began to growl insistently. But a short while later, a small pig girl trotted out of the kitchen with arms loaded with plates. She bowed her head politely as she laid them before us, and I turned a questioning eye to Una. "I didn't order anything."
"The kitchen knows when you're hungry,"
the pig girl squeaked. She couldn't have been older than 10, and she had a sprig of blonde hair between two pink triangle ears. She was maybe 3 feet in height, and her head barely peeked over the table. The girl's outfit matched Miss Maggie's, and I could only assume they were mother and daughter. I pulled open my dish's lid to reveal biscuits and gravy, strips of crunchy bacon, and over-easy eggs. It seemed the urgency of our mission had plateaued in lieu of breakfast being eaten, but I wasn't going to complain. A good, hearty meal was necessary before going out to fight unknown enemies. Besides, I would need armor and a weapon if I was going to be attacking anything, so I might as well kill some time with food while I waited for Miss Maggie to return. I listened to the chatter of the dining hall while I ate, and the people of Havenwood kept saying things about clovers and cards, but I didn't know what that meant exactly. If there was an animated deck of cards walking around this fantasy land, I was going to die laughing. I'd truly be in some Alice in Wonderland nonsense then. Still, it could be anything, so I tried not to get my hopes up. But I was sitting between a ball of fur and a half-cat, half-girl hottie. Anything was possible. I shook my head in awe at my current situation, and then I returned my focus back to my food. There was a dusting of salt and pepper over the top, and it appeared to be the perfect amount, but I took a tentative scoop of gravy just to be sure. The savory richness hit my tongue like an avalanche of flavor, and I moaned against my will. Oh, it was perfect. I stuffed my face with awesome food, and I glanced sideways at my companions to see them doing the same thing to their meals. But their dishes looked far less appetizing. Una had another plate of fish, but these were more like the kind found in koi ponds. Zidi nibbled on some crumbs that resembled chicken feed, and Lena munched on some leaves. Dr. Kriya snacked on a more sensible dish of olives and meatballs, but then Miss Maggie returned with an armful of gear just as I was licking my plate clean. The pig chef set down her stuff on a nearby table before she sat on the other side of the bench.
Are you sure you want to do this, Una? You should be downstairs in bed after everything the clover cards put you through.
I'm okay,
the cat girl insisted with a firm nod.
I don't want Alex to go alone.
I had to agree. A clumsy cat girl was better than nothing. Plus, my other options were a ball of fur, a sloth, a mousy lady, or a pig chef. On top of being the most useful of the bunch, Una was my favorite person to spend time with, so I was glad she was coming with me. I wouldn't know where to go otherwise. I'm unfamiliar with this land.
You could be charading for all I know. I am merely concerned about my friend's safety.
As you should be, I nodded. I promise you I will keep her safe.
That is a big promise here in all the land,
Dr. Kriya pointed out, and she wrung her hands together anxiously.
There are a great many ways to die here.
I'm aware, but don't worry, I will do everything I can.
Maybe we should go as well, Doctor,
Miss Maggie murmured, and she shot the mouse lady a questioning look.
Oh, that is not a bad thought,
Dr. Kriya replied with a thoughtful tap of her fingers against her chin.
It has been a while since I have left the tree. I'm safe with Alex,
Una assured her overprotective mother figures. The three women began to argue amongst themselves about who was going on this mission, and I could tell Una wanted it to just be the two of us, but I still hoped we would have some backup as well.
Everyone can come, I said, and I pushed myself to my feet.
Now, I'm going to go try on this stuff. Come grab me when everyone is ready to go get the potions. Then I crossed over to the pile Miss Maggie had laid down, and I began to inspect it. There were two swords to choose from, and several pieces of leather armor, but not a complete set. After I laid everything out like a puzzle, I realized some of the pieces were different sizes. I didn't know if it would fit me, but it was better than nothing. So I scooped it all up and made my way back to my dwelling, where I would have more space to spread out. Once I'd made it to the little wooden hut I now occupied, I pulled on the leather armor bit by bit, but there were several pieces that wouldn't work for me, so I discarded them to the side. Then I stood in the center of the room with a shoulder guard, leather chest covering, cuisses, and leather boots. Combined with the flowy tunic vest and billowy pants, I looked like a combination of cowboy and Bollywood dancer. I attempted a few stretches, and my movements were unrestrained by the armor, so I was pleased. Then I picked up one of the swords and gripped it tentatively. I'd never held a sword before, in real life or in a dream, and the weight of it shocked me. It was like the weapon was really made of metal and not just a figment of my imagination. There were two swords to choose from, but other than the metal appearing splotched with rust and the edges dented from use, they looked completely different from each other. One was a curved blade like a pirate would use, and the other was shorter and wider across the blade. Both had leather wrapped around their grips, but the curved sword had a red tassel at the end of the pommel. The short broadsword was heavier and a little more awkward to maneuver, so I opted for the lighter of the two. I gripped the curved sword by the hilt in my right hand, and I twirled it around like I'd seen in movies and video games, but the blade suddenly launched from my hand to penetrate the wooden wall of my dwelling. Oh, shit! I gasped as I hurried over to fetch my sword from the wall. I had to yank with my foot braced against the base of the wall in order to free my weapon, and I shook my head in awe at my luck. I could have easily injured myself or someone else like that. I decided my room was a bit too cramped to be practicing in, and I headed down to the clearing at the base of the giant sequoia. Once I arrived at the foot of the tree, I went about practicing with my new sword some more. I swung my sword in wide arches, flicked it in my wrist, and accustomed myself to the weight and feel of it in my hand. I wasn't sure how much time I spent practicing, but the sun still hadn't risen above the eastern edge of the sky, so I continued for a while longer. Once I was successfully amped up to go confront the clover cards, I returned to the treetop city. But Una practically ran into me on my way up the stairs. Her purple eyes were full of excitement and a twinge of fear, so I stuck out a hand to steady her and gave her an encouraging smile. Are we ready to go?
Yes, we are,
Dr. Kriya said from behind the cat girl. I peered over Una's shoulder to see the doctor and the chef standing on the stairwell, and I encompassed them in my grin.
Good, I nodded. Which way do we go?
Down, for starters, but you're standing in our way.
No need to be rude. I muttered under my breath as I turned around and began to trot down the steps. The three women followed closely behind me, and a moment later we were standing in the clearing at the base of the tree. I headed toward the waterfall, but then I heard Una clear her throat behind me, and I turned around to see the women walking in the other direction.
You're going backward.
The cat girl gave me a confused look as she tilted her head to the side, and she beckoned for me to hurry up.
It's going to be a long day,
I sighed, and I hurried to catch up to them. Una smiled as I joined them, and she slipped her hand into mine.
We are taking a shortcut.
You three know the area better than I do. I'm happy to follow.
Una nodded knowingly, but then her eyes turned thoughtful, and she bit her lip as she gazed at the ground ahead of us. I was curious about what was on her mind, but I didn't want to press her too much.
We will need you to lead us soon enough,
Una said after a while of walking in silence, and her ears flicked around in every direction.
You will be king of all the land after you defeat the darkness plaguing us. Everyone will sing your praises, and the streets will be alive with celebration.
A distant sound made Una flinch, and she fell silent once more. Her palm was warm, borderline sweaty, in my hand, and she held on to me tightly, like I would disappear if she let me go. She was much more tense than she'd been up in the branches of Havenwood, but that was understandable. Even in the hidden clearing, there could be danger lurking. Then the four of us hiked across the field of tall grass toward the shadows cast by a tree line full of imposing evergreens. Una stumbled every couple of steps, but since I was holding her hand, it was easy enough to help her regain her balance. I cast her a sideways smile when I caught her, and a blush crept up her neck.
My clumsiness is getting worse,
Una explained, and her ears flicked anxiously.
My vision is growing bad as well.
The opposition effect? I asked, but she merely nodded. As we drew closer to the imposing trees, I realized they weren't trees at all, but gigantic mushrooms. They were brightly colored and came in a variety of patterns, but they all had tall white stalks connecting them to the ground. The others didn't seem as awed by the towering fungi, but I gaped up at them like a kid in a candy store. We passed beneath the shadows of the mushroom caps, and the air temperature dropped several degrees. Wind whistled through my hair, and I shivered beneath the chill of the breeze. I rubbed my arm with my free hand, and Una shot me a curious glance.
Do your clothes not protect you?
The cat girl's ears flicked in every direction while she talked, and I could tell she was only half paying attention to me.
What is their purpose?
To keep me covered? I shrugged. It's better than being naked, but I wasn't prepared for the climate to change so quickly.
You must be prepared for anything here in all the land.
I'll keep that in mind, I replied as I squeezed her hand. So, where are we going?
We are headed toward the Clover Fortress,
Dr. Kriya said over her shoulder from ahead of me.
Then we will double back and meet the cards on the road.
Sounds simple enough, I grinned. What happens when we find them?
You will use your sword to retrieve the potions. If you think you can manage such a task.
I think we should have a better plan than that, I said in a cautious voice. While I'd love to jump in and kill them all with my sword, this is the first time I've ever even held one, so maybe we should think of something else?
What do you propose?
The pig chef swiveled to face me, with her hands planted on her hips.
You're the dreamer, right? A few clover cards shouldn't cause a problem for you.
In theory, I rubbed the back of my neck. But we don't even know how many enemies there will be. How about this? You three cause a distraction, which draws the clover cards away from the potions, then I run in and grab one. After I've drunk one of the magic elixirs, it will be simple enough to destroy the cards.
As long as you can handle the effects. Then I have no issues with your plan.
I'll do my best.
I wasn't going to let her disbelieving tone get to me, but I did have my doubts about what exactly I was going to do. I'd only been given the sword a short while before, and I wasn't what you'd call a natural at it, if the wall of my dwelling was any indication. So drinking one of the potions seemed like the best option for success. Besides, these women were counting on me, so I had no other choice. We walked through the tall mushroom forest for a while, and the sun barely permeated the thick caps. The light shone in long, random slats, but I found myself weaving from one to the other in an effort to combat the chill in the air. Then Miss Maggie held up one hand to signal a stop.
We are getting closer. We must be very careful from here on out. The cards Lena spotted may not be the only ones in this area.
We should split up. We can cover more ground in pairs.
The wannabe dreamer comes with me.
Miss Maggie replied immediately, and she held up her hand when Una opened her mouth to argue.
You're suffering from withdrawals, Una. You need to stay close to the doctor just in case. Neither one of you should be out here in the first place, but here we are.
Alex would keep me safe,
Una insisted with a stubborn lift of her chin.
Come with me, dear,
Dr. Kriya urged in a gentle tone.
Otherwise, I'd worry too much about you. Very well,
Una sighed, but her purple eyes flicked back and forth between her two mother figures.
It's only temporary. We will be back together once we find the cards.
Yes, Una,
Miss Maggie assured the cat girl.
I'm not going to do anything to your precious Alex.
Good.
Una brightened, and she squeezed my hand once more before she released it.
How will we know the others have seen what we are searching for?
I will whistle. Una, you can meow.
I can meow low or loud,
Una said with an eager nod.
Which one should I use?
Oh, use your best judgment,
Miss Maggie said, but she gave the cat girl a warning look.
And stay close to Dr. Kriya. The last thing we need is to lose you after we just got you back.
Alex is here now. Nothing bad will ever happen to me ever again.
I wish I could guarantee the cat girl's words were the truth, but I had no way of knowing for sure what the future held. I just wanted to get the potions and get back to Havenwood. But I had to admit, I was glad I was paired up with Miss Maggie. This would give me a chance to get to know the pig lady a little better, so I didn't argue as we went our separate ways. I gave Miss Maggie a friendly smile, but she merely huffed in response. Getting the stubborn chef to like me was going to be a challenge, but I was up for it, and I wasn't going to let this opportunity go to waste. I followed the pig lady silently beneath the mushroom caps, and I glanced from side to side with each step I took. I'd never even seen a clover card before, so I wasn't entirely sure what I was looking for, but I figured I'd know it when I saw it. Miss Maggie wasn't the most eager conversationalist, but I attempted to strike up some small talk every once in a while. I commented on the weather and the massive mushroom trees, and then discussed what I'd experienced since waking up in All the Land, before I mentioned how impressed I was with the treetop city of Havenwood. But I still received only snorts and huffs in response. I wasn't going to give up, though, and I walked in silence for a while as I thought over the best way to break through the pig woman's walls. There was no way I was just going to accept she didn't like me, and I was determined to find something to connect over. Una seems to really believe in me, I said after a long period of silence. But you don't seem to be the kind of person to easily believe in anything.
I'm not,
Miss Maggie said, and she shot me a sideways glance.
Believing winds up as hurting, and I've suffered enough pain to last me lifetimes.
I get that. My smile turned sympathetic. When did you stop believing?
What makes you think I ever believed at all?
Because of the pain you mentioned. There's got to be a story there.
Let's just focus on finding these clover cards and getting a potion for you,
Miss Maggie said, and she narrowed her beady eyes at me.
I know what you're trying to do, and it won't work. The sooner we prove you're not the dreamer, the sooner I can get back to my life.
I'm not trying to do anything. I held up my hands in the universal gesture of surrender. I just wanted to get to know you better. I have my own vetting process. For all I know, you could be leading me to my death, and you are acting kind of sus. I was hoping to get her worked up enough that her real issues would come to light, and we could deal with them once and for all. But there was a chance I was about to get punched in the face by a pig lady.
Sus?
Miss Maggie huffed in an offended tone. Suspicious, I provided, and I arched one eyebrow. Of course, the pig lady from the fantasy world I'd dreamed up didn't understand my reference to a popular video game. Everyone else seems happy enough to have some hope in their lives. Maybe you're really working for the Dark King, and the dreamer showing up on your doorstep messes up all your plans.
How dare you?
Miss Maggie's face turned crimson as she stammered in anger. Her steps became stomps, and she swung her arms wildly while she walked.
I have been there for the people of Havenwood ever since my cowardly husband laid down his sword and turned tail. He wasn't man enough to go into battle, but I could not fight in his place.
Why not? I asked in a gentle voice, and I struggled to keep up with her. Now we were talking.
I have a daughter.
Miss Maggie sighed, and her shoulders slumped as she accepted defeat.
I have to keep her safe, and she'd already lost her father to cowardice.
I think I met her, I said with an encouraging smile. She's adorable.
She is my everything,
Miss Maggie said as her chin quivered.
I wasn't going to leave her as an orphan, not after what the Dark King did to all the land. He's ruined everything. All my dreams are ashes, and my husband refused to do his part to stop it. Maybe if he had gone to fight, maybe we wouldn't be in this mess.
That's totally understandable.
What else was I supposed to do?
Miss Maggie had stopped walking, and she waved around her hands as the words began to tumble out of her. Her eyes were earnest as they locked with mine, and I had a feeling I'd broken the dam on her feelings.
I feel for the people suffering, but I cannot do more than hide behind the walls of Havenwood. I am no better than my husband. Let the Dark King take him. And what example does that give for my daughter? She is doomed to grow up to be a coward just like her mother and father.
I suddenly understood why the pig chef lady was so hesitant to trust me. She'd placed all of her trust in her husband, and he failed her. Now she was angry and bitter, but she was projecting her rage onto anyone with a penis. I'm not your husband, I pointed out in a calm voice. I don't need to tell you about how different I am from all the others. You'll see with your own eyes, Miss Maggie. I gave her a warm smile, and I jerked my head toward the path ahead.
You're right,
Miss Maggie sighed, and the corners of her lips pulled into the slightest hint of a smile.
I need to stop treating you like you're the one who ran off and left me.
I'd appreciate it, but I understand. I'm not trying to hurt you or anyone, especially not Una. She's already very special to me.
You be careful with my Una.
Miss Maggie growled, and her eyes turned hard once more.
She's never been hurt by a man she loves, and you're not going to change that any time soon. If you understand that, then we will get along fine.
I would never do anything to hurt Una, I insisted in a solemn tone. I'll swear by anything you want.
Swearing is bad,
Miss Maggie replied, but her gaze softened a little.
I will keep an eye on you, but you're not a bad egg, Alex.
I wanted to pump my fist in a victory dance, but I resisted the urge and settled for a charming smile instead. I'd cracked the shell of this pig lady, and the rest of our trip through the mushroom forest would be much more pleasant without the tension between us. We hit a sunny spot where we could see beneath the caps of the mushrooms for a good distance, and I warmed myself in the rays as we peered in every direction. I didn't see anything other than dirt and the impossibly tall stalks. And after a few more moments, we continued onward. Miss Maggie grew more and more tense with each passing minute, and I stayed just a pace behind her so as not to get in her way. We'd gotten pretty far from the others, and I was starting to feel anxious about being away from Una, but then Miss Maggie came to another halt. The pig lady sniffed the air curiously, and her beady eyes widened.
I can smell them nearby. We must tell Dr. Kreia and Una at once.
But I can't see anything, I argued, and I glanced around at the empty forest. Then I heard a man's cruel laughter in the distance, and a shiver ran down my spine. It was the first masculine voice I'd heard since waking up in all the land, but my automatic reaction was to run the other way. These men were up to no good, and I didn't even need to look at them to know it. Is that them? Miss Maggie nodded silently, and she pulled me behind one of the stalks of the gigantic mushrooms. Then she let out a long, low whistle, and I heard a distant meow in response. The cat noise sounded pretty far away, and I hoped the other two would make it back to us before the clover cards came into view. We waited for what seemed like forever, but it couldn't have been more than a few moments. Miss Maggie and I stayed silent, but my eyes were locked on the road on the other side of the mushroom stalk. I was torn between wanting to find out what a clover card was and running away from the danger.
Una and Dr. Kriya appeared by my side a few minutes later, and the smiling cat girl slid her hand back into mine. The mousy doctor had a worried frown creasing her eyebrows, but the wrinkles lining her face indicated it was a common expression for her to wear. Before I could greet the two women, a loud crashing sound echoed through the forest, and we all turned to look in the direction of the sound. I hid behind the mushroom stalk, and I peered around it in search of whatever the fuck a clover card was. Then I saw a troop of over 10 armored men as they marched beneath the mushrooms, and they led a team of weird-looking horses between them. The men laughed and talked amongst themselves, and they were completely unaware of the four sets of eyes watching their every move. They clambered down the road, seemingly without a care in the world, but then my eyes went to the horse-like creatures walking between them. The horses had two prong-like horns on their heads, and four eyes blinked about in all directions. The steeds were monochrome in color, and they were patterned in black and white squares, but they almost looked transparent when they walked beneath a random stream of sunlight. Strapped to their backs was the yoke of a wagon, which was piled high with glass containers full of colorful liquids. Potions, and lots of them. I was almost too hypnotized by the insane creatures before me to look at the men, but then my gaze slid over to one of their shields as they marched past. The square shape was painted to look like a three of clovers, and the man who held it tossed back his head to laugh at a joke I couldn't hear. I'd half expected some Alice in Wonderland type of animated card, but a bunch of men in full plate metal was even more intimidating than a piece of paper with arms and legs. I wondered what they looked like beneath their helmets, but I'd probably have to kill them to find out. I pulled my sword free from its sheath as quietly as I could, and I gestured with finger signals for the women to follow my lead, but I received only confused head tilts in response. I sighed as I beckoned them in closer, but I waited until we were all practically touching each other before I spoke. "Time for the distraction phase of my plan," I whispered, and I sent up a silent thank you to every strategy video game I'd played over the years. At least I had some kind of experience with combat situations. "I'll go to the front, the rest of you circle around behind them."
"We're just here for potions. Let's just run in, grab them, and get out."
"They'll just follow us back to Havenwood. We can't let them live. Once I drink one of the potions, I'll take them all out. But first, I need you three to get them away from the wagon." I talked a big game for a man who'd only recently held a sword for the first time, but I was determined to get my hands on those potions. Once I did, taking care of a few assholes would be simple enough, and the memory of me standing above the trees in giant form flashed through my mind. A big potion would certainly come in handy right about now, but I had to get my hands on them first.
"We should listen to Alex,"
Una urged with a wide-eyed look.
"He is the dreamer."
"We won't know that for certain until we get the potions."
"Enough!" I hissed as I placed a finger across my lips, and the women fell silent. I gave them a stern look before I removed my digit, but no one made any more noise. I nodded in satisfaction, and then once again gestured for them to follow my lead. This time, all three women followed behind me until we were a safe distance away from the clover cards. And then we split up in order to surround our opponents from all sides. Una flashed me a mischievous wink before she disappeared from view, and I hoped she would be okay until we were back together. I already felt unexplainably protective over the odd cat girl, and it was difficult to watch her walk away yet again. The three women split ranks as they hopped from mushroom stalk to mushroom stalk, and we made sure to wait until the clover cards were distracted by something in the road before we moved any closer. I peered around my hiding place in search of the others, and I made eye contact with each of them before I nodded. It was go time.
"Hey, you!"
Una yelled as she jumped out into the middle of the road in front of the caravan of clover cards.
"Where are you taking all those potions? Awfully greedy to hog them all to yourselves, don't you think?"
I was amazed at her level of bravery, but I hoped it didn't get her hurt, or worse, and I knew I would do anything in my power to protect her.
"Who the fuck said that?"
one clover card asked another. The armored men all turned to look at each other, and the sound of metallic creaking filled the air. Each one of their movements sounded like a rusty hinge, and they weren't being very subtle about their actions. They drew their swords with a metal whoosh, and then their eyes finally landed on the cat girl.
"Hey, look! Free!"
One of the clover cards with four clovers painted on his shield chuckled.
"We've got ourselves a hero!"
The two cards jostled elbows, and their laughter echoed through the air.
"Yeah, I see that four,"
the man with three clovers on his shield replied, and his shiny metal helmet swiveled as the soldier glanced from Una to his companions.
"Let's teach it a lesson it won't soon forget."
Two of the clover cards lunged for Una at the same time, and she started to backpedal down the road to avoid their reaching arms. But her violet eyes flicked to my hiding place, as if looking for instruction. I waited until I spotted the other women inching toward the wagon full of potions, and then signaled for Una to run. The cat girl nodded subtly, and she swiveled to dash away from the clover cards as fast as she could. I glanced over to make sure the armored men were following, and sure enough, 8 of the 10 soldiers dashed after the cat girl. The other 2 remained near the wagon, but Dr. Kriya and Miss Maggie were drawing steadily closer to them. My heart hammered against my ribcage, but I told myself to stay calm. I hoped the women managed to keep the clover cards occupied long enough for me to grab some of the potions, but there were still 2 of the armored men left guarding the wagon. The 8 clover cards were quickly gaining ground on Una, despite being weighed down by so much armor, and I watched as she pumped her legs even faster. Hopefully the soldiers would be nice and tired when I finally got my hands on a potion and confronted them.
"Get back here!"
a clover shouted at the cat girl.
"Come and get me!"
she taunted over her shoulder. I heard the rattling of their armor, but she was already running as fast as she could. Then I heard a whoosh of a sword being drawn nearby, and my eyes flicked back to the wagon to see the other 2 clover cards chasing down Miss Maggie and Dr. Kriya, with their weapons swinging through the air. At last, the wagon full of potions was unguarded, and I raced across the distance to the cart before I hauled myself up into the back of it. I grabbed a potion bottle at random, but then I heard a metallic swishing noise behind me. I brought my blade up just in time as I launched out of the squat to slash into a clover's weapon. One of the bastards must have been hiding on the other side of the wagon. The metallic clang rang loudly in my ears, and stars filled my vision, so I nearly missed the chance to block the card's next strike.
"Oh, shit!"
I gasped, and I swiveled as I brought my blade up to cover my face. I counted my enemies quickly, and I realized I was outnumbered yet again. 3 of the clover cards had returned to the wagon and caught me red-handed, but all I had to do was keep them off of me for long enough to chug the magical elixir. I desperately hoped Una was okay, but I didn't have time to look for her. My opponent's sword clanged against mine so hard my arms shook, but then the 2 hilts locked together. I pressed into the handle of my weapon with all my might, and I shoved the clover back with sheer force as our blades remained locked together.
"The wagon!"
a voice shouted from down the road, and all the clover cards chasing my friends paused with their weapons raised in midair to look back toward their load. I crouched on top of the pile of potions, but then I made eye contact with the cat girl from across the road. She'd climbed up one of the giant mushroom stalks to cling to its side, and her tail swayed heavily from left to right as she tried to maintain her balance.
"Damn!"
a clover card yelled beside me, and the armored men abandoned the chase in favor of protecting their potions. I used the moment to my advantage, though, and I shoved my opponents back with the flat of my blade. 2 clover cards went down with a loud crash as their armor met the dirt road, but the other 6 were quickly covering the distance between them and the wagon. Then they spotted Una, where she clung to the mushroom tree, and half of them changed their trajectory to go after the cat girl, while the other half continued to return to the cart full of potions where I crouched. So much for our distraction.
"Fight me!"
I yelled as I hopped down with a potion bottle clenched tightly in my fist, and I hacked at the back of their running legs as I caught up with them.
"I'm the one you want! I'm the dreamer!"
The clover cards aiming for Una kept moving in her direction, so I had to kick my legs in swift blurs of motion in order to pass by them. Then I still had to hurry to reach the woman before they could, and I skidded to a breathless halt as soon as I reached the mushroom where Una clung.
"Are you okay?"
"Alex,
Six behind you!
What? I asked. But I had just enough time to turn around and block the blow of a sword with my weapon, and I parried blow after blow with the potion bottle cradled against my chest. I needed to either drink it or get it safely put away, but the clover wasn't giving me a moment to breathe, let alone move things about my person. I backed away from my opponent slowly with each parried attack until my spine was pressed against the stalk of the mushroom Una had climbed up, and I quickly realized I was outmatched by his skill. He twirled his weapon like it was as light as a feather, and meanwhile mine felt like it weighed a ton. My muscles ached, and my entire body was covered in sweat from all the running. I wasn't going to win this fight in this shape. I needed to regroup. If I could gain a little ground, then I could chug the potion clutched in my hand, but I had to get these fuckers off me first.
Fuck off!
I spat, as I shoved my attacker off me with a burst of stamina, and then I shot a glance around at my companions. Miss Maggie and Dr. Kriya were surrounded by the remaining clover cards, and they stood watching me fight with terror in their eyes. They knew better than I did what would happen if I didn't save them from the minions of the Dark King, and I could tell they were both thinking about the worst-case scenario as they stood frozen in place. There was no way I was going to let that happen, and I clenched my jaw as I decided it was time to be ruthless. I'd been on the defensive this entire time, in the hopes the ladies could get some of the potions and then get away, but that hope was thoroughly dashed now. 10 assholes stood between me and my companions, and I was determined to kill every single one of them. Peaceful Alex was gone, and I had the sudden desire to drain the blood of my enemies.
Come at me, assholes!
I said, and I twirled my sword around in my grip before I slashed at the closest clover card. I was starting to get the hang of this sword thing. He met my blow with his shield, and I barely registered the 2 clovers painted on the front of it before the jarring sensation jolted the length of my arm. I almost dropped my sword, but somehow I managed to keep it in my grip. So I followed the momentum of the shield up and over until the tip of my weapon was beneath the chin of his helmet. His sword came up between his chest and my blade, and he batted my weapon away like it was a prop. It flew out of my hands, which were still numb and tingly from the interaction with his shield, and it landed buried to the hilt in the road to my right. I lunged toward my sword like a baseball player sliding home, and I felt the whoosh of blades swinging above my head as I rolled across the ground to yank my weapon free from the dirt.
Missed me!
I taunted as I came to my feet with my sword in one hand and the potion still clutched against my chest with my other arm. Time to get big or strong or something magical. I backpedaled away from the clover cards while I maneuvered the bottle into my fist. Then I bit down on the cork, pulled it free, and spat it to the side. I didn't even bother looking at the label before I put it back against my lips and tilted my head back. I was about to chug the potion when a whirlwind of white spun out of the mushroom forest and collided with me before it rammed into one of the clover cards, closing in on my companions. The blur of white focused into a spinning tornado of feathers, but as it hit each clover card, they fell in a loud crash of metal and swinging limbs. Then it came to a halt, and my jaw nearly hit the floor. I stood frozen with the potion clutched in my arms as I stared at the newcomer in awe. It was a woman, and she was drop-dead gorgeous.